Americans love their hamburgers, gobbling an estimated $14 billion a year. But good old hamburger can be the source of serious health threats. Because of where it comes from on the cow, hamburger can become contaminated with a dangerous bacterium, E. coli 0157. That can cause death in children and the elderly. Recently, the Conagra Company had to recall nearly 19 million pounds of ground beef because of E. coli contamination. 28 people got sick, 7 were hospitalized. It was the second biggest recall in U.S. history and sparked renewed concern about the Department of Agriculture's meat inspection program. NPR's John McChesney visited a meat grinding plant to see how hamburger is made.
The S&S Meat Company is located in a nondescript building in Azusa, California, a town just north of Los Angeles. S&S grinds burger for the Jack in the Box restaurant chain. And in case you've forgotten, Jack in the Box had a disastrous bout of E. coli contamination back in 1993. 4 children died. As a result, Jack in the Box has instituted a rigorous meat inspection regimen that is widely admired by industry observers. Dave Thino designed the program, and he's our guide as we enter the cold room where 2 massive grinders powered by 100 horsepower motors can churn out nearly 750,000 hamburger patties a day.
We have here 1,635 pounds of meat. This is 50% lean trimmings.
We're peering into a cardboard bin. It's almost 4 feet high and 5 feet across, and it's filled with fatty scraps delivered here by a slaughterhouse. It's 50% fat and 50% lean, although to the eye, it looks like mostly fat. It also brings to mind the old adage that it's best not to see how sausage is made. A big lift dumps the box into a coarse grinder on one side of the room. On the other side, red frozen blocks of 90% lean trimmings are fed into another grinder. Giant conveyors carry both grinds up and dump them into a huge tub equipped with paddles.
Easy to tell the difference. You can see how lean that product is versus how fat this product is. We'll blend to a final blend here of about 75% lean hamburger.
25% fat makes the juicy burgers so loved by Americans. But it's those boxes of fat trimmings that can be the source of problems in the hamburger industry. The fat trimmings come mostly from the outside of cow carcasses, the place where manure containing E. coli bacteria is most likely to be deposited as the cow is skinned and eviscerated. Dave Thino says it's nearly impossible to find E. coli in these big bins.
Is it the piece on top or is it the piece on the bottom? And to sample this, you have to use a probe where you stick down inside the combo. And it's just really luck of the draw to find it.
The trick, says Thino, is to catch the contamination either before it gets into the box of trimmings or to catch it after the hamburger has been blended and the contamination is spread evenly in the meat. Jack in the Box does it both ways. This conveyor is carrying hundreds of pink frozen patties, rattling along like hockey pucks from the 2 grinding lines.
Every 15 minutes we take a sample from one line or the other. Those are composited into 1-hour composites, and those are all run for 0157. No product is released until we have tested negative for 0157.
And if any E. coli is detected, it can be traced back to a lot number and all the way back to the bins, so the supplier can be identified. Now, Jack in the Box has a good reason to do it this way. They were nearly ruined by a contamination, and they're retailing a product through restaurants, so they need a spotless reputation. But the burger that goes into grocery stores doesn't come from this kind of controlled process. There are 1,700 grinding plants in the United States, and USDA runs 6,000 random samples a year at different locations. Critics say an awful lot of contaminated meat can get out the door undetected with that kind of limited sampling. Caroline Smith-DeWall of the Center for Science in the Public Interest wants more extensive testing.
Testing at many stages along the food chain would be much more effective to controlling harmful E. coli bacteria. We've petitioned USDA to ask them to start testing both beef carcasses and beef trimmings to identify contaminated meat before it's ground up.
Dave Thino of Jack in the Box says there are proven methods for sterilizing the carcass right after slaughter.
Hot water washes, rinses,
steam cabinets that pasteurize the external surfaces. Properly done, you just really can't find pathogens on the carcass when it goes into the coolers.
Properly done is the operative phrase here. ConAgra's Greeley, Colorado plant used steam cabinets and acid washes, yet a significant contamination managed to get by. Just how, nobody knows yet. And there's another big problem concerning these decontamination techniques. Meat processors don't have to use them if they don't want to. Elsa Murano is the USDA Undersecretary for Food Safety. She says she can't order meat processors to use these sterilization technologies.
The law does not allow us to do that. This is something that we're having our lawyers look into, to be honest, because I want to make sure, because to me that is the way that's going to solve this problem once and for all. So if the law that we have right now does not support that legally for us to require that, then the only way to require is to change the law.
And there are now moves afoot in Congress to revise the law, which after all was drafted in 1907, shortly after author Upton Sinclair published The Jungle, his famous expose of slaughterhouse abuses. And there are now some voices in the beef industry which say reform is necessary to reduce the chance of another outbreak. In any case, all the experts say don't eat rare hamburgers. Cook them until the internal temperature is 160 degrees or all the pink is gone. John McChesney, NPR News, San Francisco.